Thank you. Manuel Limonta from the regional office of ICSU for Latin America and the Caribbean. Thanks for the comprehensive presentations. Well, we know what a cornerstone to reduce the risk of disasters and to increase resilience is the education to the public. My question is for Hugo and all of you. I'd like to have your criteria of how is this situation. For instance, Hugo to tell what he thinks about the situation in Latin America, what is lacking and what has to be done. I mean, teaching in the schools, teaching the public, etc., in this education need for disaster risk reduction.
Okay, thank you very much. Shall we have the question at first? And the lady, please.
Good evening. My name is Astrid Criales. I am from Peru, a country in many risks for climate change and for earthquakes too. My question is about how does your government work with the CTI policies for reduced risks? Are they priorities of your plans? And I want to ask you an advice too. What do you think it should be a priority of the plans of the government? Or if you have a small budget, what will you choose? Invest in competitiveness of new products or in reduced vulnerability? Thank you.
Thank you very much. And lastly, please.
Thomas Kekesi from Miskolc, Hungary, and also from Japan, because I have lived there for more than 5 years. Sendai ni sundei mashita, watashi mo asoko kara mashita. So in that way, I have to also illustrate with a Hungarian example, as now we are here in Hungary, finally, so of some disasters and how it was handled in this case in our country. And it reiterates the very important statement by Onishi Sensei that technology and science can reduce disaster risks but can also create risks of disaster if technology is not controlled properly. And the codes that processes should be handled are not really considered. And this happened in Hungary twice. Once it was caused by Hungarian disrespect of the safety regulations or negligence of the technological requirements. And it was the Red Mud flood in Hungary, which is a very unique event that might have happened. Flooding huge areas, cities, villages, by meters of depth of red mud, deposited improperly by a company producing alumina. And this was maybe known to everyone in technology and science all over the world. Still, there was no united effort by the European Union, or not even by the Hungarian government on a national level, to solve the problem of safety storage by technological development, by science. There is a way, always, but there is not always the will for that to make it into effect. And I wonder how it is considered for just the global society to put every resource into well-being, to use the profit for just spending on well-being of people, or just try to separate some part of it and reserve it also for safety of the people. Which is more important? How it can be balanced? It should be understood by governments, and then science can be promoted even much more, if not just economical research is supported, but also research for safety. And research results can be made economical by central efforts of the governments. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Maybe we have the second and third one very similar. How to prioritize how to make a balance. Okay, the first question is more the educational component. So we have four presenters. At first, Susan, can you hear me? Okay, we have two questions mainly. The one is the education component, and the other one is the how to make a priority, how to prioritize or how to make a balance of our strategy or plan. So do you have any comment on these questions?
Yes. On the education, I think it starts with the universities, and as Romero suggested, many of our disciplines and our departments in universities are stovepiped, and so we need to think about the restructuring of the way in which we educate the next generation of scientists, and to get them more engaged in interdisciplinary types of activities, and reward the faculty who are engaged in supervising these students in this interdisciplinary way. That will help, I think, move us forward. Because the younger people are full of ideas, they know technology, they're familiar with the technology, and I think that will help, again, stimulate new ideas and new directions.
Okay, the Professor Romero, do you have any comment on that education point and also the prioritization?
Oh, thank you. Well, in Chile we have a very long tradition in education for disasters. And I should say that we have formal education. In all the primary school, the children are learning how to behave when there is an earthquake, and now also the relationship between the earthquake and a possible tsunami. And however, we have been observing this behavior during the last earthquakes, especially, and we realized that as important as the formal education has been the informal education, especially at homes and using the media. The media has been have a very important role. After the Indonesia tsunami, the TV transmits every day the news showing once and again once the tsunami. It's incredible the effect of these images on the people, on the current and the normal people. Then when we got the tsunami, the real tsunami, in February 2010. You know, we have only, well, it's very sad to say, but we only have 150 persons killed by the tsunami. 100 of them were killed in the same island where we are celebrating a festival, music festival, and they were not able to escape. So in total, 50 people were killed because the tsunami, which is a very acceptable figure no, comparatively speaking. And why? And the main reason is because at the same time the government was telling to the people, even the president of the republic was telling to the people that there was not any risk of tsunami and they should stay at home, most of the people escaped to the hills. So, well, it's a classical Latin American attitude. We don't believe in the governments. So the first thing, if the government said that there are no tsunami, for sure it's going, a tsunami. They will escape. But when we ask the people why they have decided to do like a sort of collective movement, they said because we have these informal images, informal education, since the big earthquake in 1860 in the south of Chile, where we got also a big tsunami. And so there is a transmission, intergenerational transmission in the families, which are very important. So how can we strengthen both is a very important question, especially in terms of local knowledge. And the second question, I don't know if I can say something about priority or we can discuss first. Okay.
Professor Bate, can you make a comment on the prioritization or make a balance?
Yes, yeah, I can. So I think at the heart of your question was whether one would be better investing in local mitigations or national systems. And I guess the answer is that there are certain things that are appropriate to each level. For example, it wouldn't make sense for every municipality to run their own numerical weather forecast system. Clearly, there's some things like that you want to do at a national level. But I take Professor Romero's point about the importance of local knowledge in designing mitigation strategies. And also, for a lot of hazards, you know, the impacts are felt locally. Even if they're of wide area, it's actually how you build particular buildings during an earthquake, your adherence to your building codes, having good building codes. If in terms of flooding, again, all flooding is local. So I think it's important to make the right sort of spending at each level, and I don't think you can trade off local measures versus national. There are some things you have to do at each of those levels if you want to mitigate natural disasters.
Lastly, the Professor Onishi, could you make a comment on the prioritization
and education?
Yes.
Thank you very much for the questions. I became the president of a university last year. When I first got a new student, in my speech I mentioned that this university is at risk of the earthquake and tsunami. Tsunami itself, our location of the university is high enough against tsunami, so therefore a student may live in an apartment which is located in a lower area. So then they may face the risk of tsunami. So, every year we have the evacuation drill. The older student just stop their classroom and evacuate to the playground once a year. So in the university, this kind of lectures and or the speeches and also the evacuation drill is done. And all the other educational facilities, primary school, secondary school, some of the lectures are done to teach them the danger of the natural hazards. And also they are conducting the evacuation drill, maybe once a year basis. But the problem is those kind of set menu of the evacuation drill is safe enough when the actual natural hazard happens. That's still questionable. And the second point is the balance between the result of the technology and shadows of the technology. That's very important, the subject. And I raised the example of the automobile company. There are many automobile companies in Japan. In the past, people talk about the responsibility, social responsibilities of those automobile companies because they cause the pollution and they cause the traffic accidents. So therefore, those automobile companies are very much enthusiastic to develop two things. One is the new type of car without the pollution. So they created the hybrid car, and now they are going to the electric car. And the second point is automatic driving system. That's maybe free of accident. So now some of the companies are going to develop the new type of automobile, the automatic driving car on the market. Not now, but maybe in 5 years or 10 years. So society should say the straightforwardly those things to the companies or developers of the new technology. Then those companies developing a new technology may take care of the shadows of those technologies. So those kind of the voice of the society and the voice of the world scientist is very much important. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay. So due to the time limitation, we have to close our session. We had the very big input, the very useful input into the how to contribute the our science and technology contribution to the disaster risk reduction by promoting interdisciplinary research. Susan introduced the 10 barrier and how to overcome of the such a barrier, and also we learned the importance of the dialogue, and also the boundary organization or boundary institute by the Latin American experiences. And also the with regard to the education, we have based on the experiences, we have best practice for transferring our knowledge to the next generation. And also how to make a balance of strategy or plan, and also how to make a priority. I think the evidence-based the decision by using the integrated data and also integrated model and understandable the visualization, such kind of processes is very important. We learned such importance through our discussion. With regard to the second question, how to realize the sustainable development goals, we learned how to realize the disaster risk reduction by identifying the risk and reducing the risk. So not only the disaster risk, but also the environmental risk or health risk, or the other, the human risk, human security risk. If we address the such a risk reduction, we will be able to establish reach the sustainable development goals in an analogical way. So I think through the presentation and the discussion, we have a very good knowledge for risk reduction, not only the disaster, but also the other, the human security. Thank you very much for your very excellent input and also the discussion in this limited time framework. Thank you very much.